When you deeply encounter the person of Jesus, everything changes. I realized this in a really startling way back when I was in seminary. And it was this passage in the Gospel of John that transformed the way I saw my relationship with Jesus. I had a class on the Gospel of John, and part of the final exam was a translation portion from the Greek. So our professor could pick from the text of any of four or five chapters of John, and we'd have to translate it on the spot. One of the chapters was John 11. And so I prepared for the exam, and I read through the passage again and again, and I looked up the vocab, and I had everything figured out, and I got it down cold. And so I said to my girlfriend, Audrey, who's now my wife, I said, "Audrey, check it out. I can translate the whole thing. I can just look at it and read it." And so to kind of brag a bit, I started to go through and just translate and tell her the story of John 11. But as I started to move through this passage verse by verse, I began to feel in a new way, a more profound way, the grief of Mary and Martha. I felt the outrage of Jesus, and I felt the awfulness of death. And as I got closer and closer to Jesus shouting, "Lazarus, come out," I started to cry. It wasn't pretty, and I think Audrey was awfully surprised at my response, but I suddenly was rocked. I felt the power of this scene, and I began to trust my life to Jesus more deeply. I thought I'd already trusted him fully, but in this, I started to encounter him more deeply. And this was crazy to me because I was the theology kid. I knew the theology of resurrection up and down. I could talk to you at length about it in fancy theological terms. But it was this passage that taught me to trust deep within that Jesus is my resurrection and my life. And after that day, I knew that there would come a day where Jesus would cry out to my lifeless body as well, and I would rise to new life. Our gospel reading is an invitation to trust Jesus totally with our whole life, to see him as the one who will be with us through whatever we face, even death itself. And as I came to this passage this week, I began to see how Jesus invites Martha to trust him more fully. Martha knew Jesus. She was a friend of Jesus. She had seen him work miracles, and she believed in him. But when her brother dies, she's faced with an opportunity to trust Jesus more deeply. And as we're facing our own season of immense challenge and uncertainty, we are facing the opportunity to trust Jesus more deeply. We're invited to follow Martha in her transformation. To trust Jesus more deeply, we first need to consistently offer our concerns and struggles to him. You see, the whole reason that this climactic event happens in the small village of Bethany is because the sisters sinned for Jesus. Chapter 11 begins, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" Their family had been close to Jesus and spent significant time with him. They'd heard how he gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, and how he healed so many sick people. And now their brother, Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, was ill. And so they quickly send a messenger to Jesus, trusting that he would come to their aid. Mary and Martha confidently sought the Lord in their troubles. We find ourselves in a paradoxical moment. We're all more physically isolated than ever, but we're more connected with one another than we are most of the time. I really don't want to see my iPhone notification at the end of the week telling me what my usage is, because it'll be up 500%. We're all calling one another, texting, FaceTiming, Zooming, trying to process how everyone's doing. What do you need? How can we help? We all have people we're worried about, anxieties that are creeping in, and it's really easy for us to let everyone else know how we're doing, except the Lord. We can post updates on social media, we can write in our journals, we can FaceTime with one another, but if we aren't offering this season and our hearts to the Lord, we're not following Mary and Martha's example. They sent for Jesus saying, Lord, the one you love is ill. And so in the midst of all of this craziness, seek the Lord. Offer him your concerns and trust that he will hear you. To trust Jesus more deeply, we also need to realize that there's no window of opportunity for Jesus to come to our aid. When Jesus first sees Martha, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha isn't complaining. She's not condemning Jesus. She's genuinely expressing confidence. She trusts that had Jesus made it in time before Lazarus died, he would have been healed. She even shows her trust by continuing, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Martha still trusts Jesus, but it's limited. Her faith in what Jesus can do has boundaries. She believes that there was a window of opportunity for Jesus to act, but unfortunately, he missed it. Her sister Mary shares this belief, falling at Jesus' feet in tears and echoing with her sister, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even the visitors from Jerusalem exclaim, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Everybody thinks the story is over because Lazarus has died. So whatever faith they have in Jesus, they assume Jesus also has limits. He has a window of opportunity and he missed it. How like these folk are our own hearts. Even when we cry out to God in the midst of troubles, we set boundaries on our expectations. We feel a hurried anxiety because if Jesus doesn't act right now, it's going to be all over. Many of us are worried about our jobs, the health of our loved ones, our retirement, whether our businesses will survive, or we're simply worried about preserving our sanity in the midst of all of this. Profound tragedy could hit our community as many get sick, and people we know and love could die. So many are faithfully crying out to God, please act now, intervene, stem the tide, save my business, protect my job. And this is good. We ought to be raising these prayers to the Lord. We ought to be asking him to protect lives and livelihoods. But we cannot get stuck thinking that God only has a short window to act. God can only really help me before I lose my job, or before I lose a good chunk of my retirement, or before my loved one dies. Once the worst happens, whatever that is mentally in our head, all we can say is, God, if you had acted, this wouldn't have happened. The many of stories of Jesus throughout the Gospels remind us that sometimes he intervenes, he heals the sick, he saves those who are dying. But the story of Lazarus reminds us that even when the worst has happened, God can still act. May God preserve our lives and our livelihoods and our community, but even in the face of death, even in the reality of joblessness, God can still act. Jesus brings new life to Lazarus where there is only death. He brings a new beginning where everyone thought it was the end. There is no window of opportunity for Jesus, so trust him in this season. Finally, to trust Jesus more deeply, we need to look to him alone for our confidence. Christian trust is not simply confidence in spiritual truths, but confidence in the person of Jesus. We don't trust a system of belief. We trust God. Martha shows herself to be a person of faith from the very beginning of the story. She sends word to Jesus when Lazarus is sick. She trusts that Jesus could have healed him. And even after he's dead, she still has confidence in him. But Jesus invites her to place her trust more fully in her relationship with him. As they continue talking, Jesus assures her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha interprets this as the devout Jewish woman she is. She thinks that Jesus is referring to their shared belief that on the last day, God will raise his people bodily from the dead. Martha knows her theology. She remembers what she was taught in the synagogue. But this isn't what Jesus means. He's not asking her to rely on her theology, but to place her trust in him fully. And so he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus invites Martha to place all of her trust in him. Her theology was correct. Her beliefs were right. But she needs to move beyond that and place her trust in Jesus alone. We're in a season where many of us are going to have beliefs rocked about God's goodness, about his faithfulness. Our theology is going to come under pressure. Can it withstand what's going on right now? And I think the answer is that what really needs to be our rock and our anchor isn't the beliefs we hold, but the person we know and trust, Jesus. Trust that he is with us and he is our life. Because Christian faith, Christian trust is personal. We trust Jesus through all of this. And so this is an opportunity for us to trust in Jesus more deeply, to know that if he is with us, whatever we face, he will get us through. And so to each one of us, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Do you believe this? Do we believe that God will be with us in this season? Whatever happens, whatever hardship we face, and whatever we lose, follow the example of Martha. Trust Jesus, who gives life to the dead and promises to always be with each one of us. Amen.